He is what a lot of people would term a missionary. And I guess the best way to say that is that you're bringing the gospel to other people outside of the realm of a local church. We believe that the missionaries establish local churches, and I know that he believes that too. And I'm trying to keep these introductions short and yet get you an idea of what something about what his ministry is all about. He was saved in South America, and he's a man that knows and speaks many different languages, and you'll be able to tell that English is not his native language, but you'll understand him just fine. I think he wonders about that, but you'll understand him just fine, I know. And he particularly is interested in people behind the Iron Curtain getting to hear the gospel. They do not have freedom of religion over there. They do not have freedom of faith over there, I guess. They do have religions in those Iron Curtain country places, but they don't have necessarily freedom to worship like we do. If you're an unbelieving kind of a church, you'll do all right. But if you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may be well persecuted for your faith in those countries. And he has a great heart for those things. He's been working in Chicago for quite some time, preaching the gospel there to various groups, and I'm sure he'll tell us a little bit about that now and probably a lot more tonight. And so we would say, Lord bless you, Dr. Spilodian, as you bring the message to us.
Thank you, Pastor Anderson. I would like to greet you with the words, Mir vam, bratje i sestre. Well, it seems that whatever church I go here in this area, and I think that maybe you have in this area Baptists that they speak tongues, but seems all of you would like to hear my perfect English. I call it perfect English because coming to this country, I could not speak English language. You know, we do not have spelling in other languages as Russian, Ukrainian, Polish, or Portuguese. And I learned some words in South America, correspondence course. And I thought that when I come here, I will be able to communicate. I came as a student, and I, when we met faculty, so I used my English, but somehow they could not follow my English. I could not follow English. I learned my English to pronounce letter by letter. We do not miss letters when they are in the word written. We do not pronounce them when they are not written. So I learned that way, you know, pronouncing letter by letter. When I wanted to say knife, I said knife. And so Americans, they could not follow my English. I could not follow their English. I was traveling myself mostly in this country. In South America, I was traveling as evangelist, same time as missionary, in the cities, towns where they did not have churches. So I will have opportunity to tell you evening service about the work in South America and about the need, as well about this country, great mission field. And sometimes we do not realize, and we think that missionary is going from this country but to different countries. But God did for us that we became missionaries to United States. We came as students, but in the same time we found that United States is a great mission field and needy mission field. And not only United States, but I will tell you about Russia, Ukraine, those Slavic countries. And the purpose that we have as organized Baptist International Evangelistic Ministries, it is to establish local churches in this country, in other countries as well, behind Iron Curtain. Now, traveling this area and seeing churches, quite a few churches that I could see that were established new as youth church, and I see a good number of young people. I remember Buenos Aires, capital of Argentina, when I went there, and quite good sizes churches, and just young people, just married, some have small children, And they asked me, they said, Peter, you went to United States, you got your education, would you please come to us, help us to organize an established Bible school. And that's why we are praying about South America as well, to get there. Now, I was traveling, as I mentioned myself before, in this country. My wife usually took care of the children, and we are thankful to God for our children. The oldest one, our daughter and son, are married, and they are in full time service for the Lord. And the youngest one, we call her a real American. She was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Deborah, and she is in Maranatha Baptist Bible College. My wife, I mentioned, is with me. I will ask her, would you please stand, and people would be acquainted with you. Thank you. Thank you. Many times traveling here, and especially working with the languages people, and people would ask us about the languages and everything, about the greetings. And you know that we have greetings that I greet you in Russian language, «Мир вам, братья и сестры». This means «Peace unto you, brethren and sisters». A Slavic preacher, he will greet congregation with those words. Congregation, they would answer, «Smirom prinimaim», what means we accept you with the peace. Not only in the church, but when we are visiting one another, coming to home, Christian home, we would say, «Mir domu vashim», what means peace into your home. And family would answer, «Smirom prinimaim», we accept you with the peace. Slavic people, as American are, they would like to greet one another, and I already made acquaintance some people with the Slavic people custom. You know, when we are greeting one another, we would like to kiss one another. But you be not afraid to get among Slavic people. Usually ladies are kissing ladies, men are kissing men. Sometime I took missionaries with me in South America when I hold evangelistic campaigns. And I do not know, when they came to those Slavic churches, they liked those kisses, but they got them because they got among those people. Sometime my wife looked at me and she said, you got too many kisses. I do not have to kiss you more. Well, this is the custom in Slavic people. Now, the languages that we do master, they are I will cite you maybe four main languages, then others. That four main languages that are mostly spoken in the world, they are as follows. First one, it is Mandarin. It is Oriental language. I do not speak that language, but I do speak three other languages. The second one that mostly spoken in the world, it is English. And you see, I speak it perfect. The third one, it is Russian. And I speak Russian. I never spoke Russian in my own country, in Ukraine. I took Russian in school in Argentina, and I preached more in Russian language in South America than in any other language, because there were many Baptist Russian churches. Now, the fourth language mostly spoken in the world, it is Spanish, and we do speak the Spanish language as well. Now, Slavic languages, sometimes people are confused, and they think that Slavic, when we mention that, they think about one nationality, Slovak. A Slovak language, it is just one of many Slavic languages. There are 13 Slavic languages, and there is 40th one, that it is old Slavic language, or we call it, some would call it a church language. It was that missionaries came to Ukraine, Kirill and Methodius, and they translate first Bible to that language. People would not speak because it is already, they would even not understand all words of that language, but we as preachers, we learn that language. We use it when we are studying Bible words, and we go to original Hebrew or Greek, and then I check with Polish or Spanish, Portuguese, other languages. As well, I would like to check with all Slavic language. Slavic languages, South Slavic especially, they are Bulgarian, Serbian, Croatian, and Slovenian. West Slavic languages, they are Bohemian, Czech, Slovak, Yugoslovak, Polish, and Vendish. East Slavic languages, they are Russian, White Russian, and Ukrainian. Sometimes, speaking those languages in our home, we think what language to speak. And sometimes people will say that we have several nationalities in our home. Some would hear us say that we have United Nations our home. But we are thankful to God to use those languages and to reach the people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful for this privilege to be with you and to have this fellowship, especially to tell you about the need, about the work, and especially as missionaries, we consider ourselves as your missionary family, every local church, as extension of the pulpit of the local church. And I am thankful to your pastor for this privilege to be with you and to tell you about the great work that we have to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will tell my testimony as well to give some report about the work in the evening service. But now I would like to read with you. It will be 2 Timothy chapter 2, second chapter, starting with verse 18. Or better, 19, and including 21. We are reading such words. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Our Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for this privilege to be in this local church, to have this fellowship, and we are asking, bless this service. Help us that we'll be missionary-minded. Help us to see those souls that they do not know yet Jesus Christ. And help us to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. When we are reading this portion of the scripture, it is very important for us as Christians, as God's people, saved people, because being saved, we want to be those people that God may use us. It is very important when you read some information about mission work, about the missionaries. And especially, missionaries are very interested to study the mission work in the time of the apostles. When apostles, they got great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they realized that they have to go to other places to preach the gospel, reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to establish New Testament local churches. The great apostle, we find it was Apostle Paul, so others, and we see that there is a great need usually in the mission field. That's why Apostle Paul, when he established local churches, he was looking for missionaries. And I do believe that we find missionaries no in other place but in the local churches. And I am thankful to God for those young men that when they receive Jesus Christ, those young people, that they are ready to go to Bible schools to study. And then they come to local church and they are active. They are reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. When Apostle Paul, he established church where Timothy was living. And first, when Timothy was listening, he realized that he was a sinner. He could follow the scripture. From his childhood, he knew the scripture. And we find that he knew the scripture because of the responsibility of the home. We are reading about his grandma, about his mother. And I will tell you, dear brothers and sisters, our responsibility as Christian home to have devotional time our homes. Timothy was listening his childhood when grandma and mother was listening by reading the scripture. So when Paul came, he could follow the message. And when invitation was given, I realized that Timothy was one. He said, oh yes, I want to accept Jesus Christ. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Apostle Paul, he went to other areas. Missionary work, it is not just to establish church and to stay in that church. Missionary, when he established church, he is looking for a pastor. And missionary is moving to other area and preaching the gospel, establishing their churches. And so Paul, he went to other areas. Timothy, he became very active. He went to visit. He went to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul came back to that church, after preaching, prayer, and they gathered together, and they told to Paul, you know, Paul, do you remember that young man? When he got saved, when you were first time, he's very active. And they recommend that Paul would take that young man with him. That's why I tell you, there is a great need. We need more missionaries. We need missionaries with ethnic groups in this country. We need missionaries as well with English language. We need missionaries to all the countries. We need missionaries to Russia, that we may reach millions of those people. But we need missionaries that would be dedicated. We need missionaries that they would be sound in their preaching, would be sound in their doctrine, would be sound in their practice. That's why Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. And he is putting his attention about some men that they departed from truth. They departed from the faith. And then he's telling him about the responsibility. He's telling about the vessels. And he's describing those vessels. About those vessels, what material they are, from what material they were made. Then he is telling the words that we find in the 21st verse. Therefore, he said, if a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Apostle Paul, he tells to Timothy that the responsibility of one missionary, or responsibility of every child of God, to take a strong stand. And he's describing that there is necessity of to be vessel sanctified, that God, that the Master will use us. And if sanctification is so important in our life, many times we would ask what is meant by sanctification. Especially in the books of Moses, we find those vessels that they were called holy vessels because they were used in tabernacle. Those vessels, they were separated for that special purpose. Not only vessels, but as well days. They were called holy days. And the purpose of those days, they were dedicated for service of God. When we're studying about those vessels in the time, in Old Testament, when King Belshazzar, he used those vessels for the feast that he had in that time, when his father took those vessels from the temple, and he and others were drinking wine from those vessels. And we find that there appeared a hand that was writing, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upersin. He was condemned because he was using those vessels for improper things. So we can see that sanctification, it is when we, in our life, try to live a life separated, especially that God can use us, that we dedicate ourselves, our spirit, our body, our soul, that God may use for the purpose that He wants us to use. Especially in sanctification, we are studying that there is two acts. First act, that we dedicate ourselves to God. And we would say, God, I separate myself to Thee, and I want that Thou use me. Second act, it is cleansing. That we would say, God, I will separate myself on all these things that are worldly, and I will be that vessel that Thou may use me. And so it is important in our life to dedicate our life that God may use us. Sometimes people would say, why I have to be sanctified? Or why I have need of sanctification? When we are studying the Word of God, we have an answer. We need sanctification because it is will of God. We are reading the will of God, it is your sanctification. It is command of God. Be holy because I am holy, your God. Without sanctification, man falls short of God's desire, of God's use. So we want to be those vessels that God may use us. Sometime, some would ask, all men have necessity of sanctification or only some? Many times we as Christians are thinking, and some would say, maybe those that they live in moral life, maybe murderers, maybe those that are stealing, maybe some others that they need. But sometimes people say, well, those people are good. Those people are living moral life. Maybe they do not need that. But dear brothers and sisters, we have to realize that sometimes if we think about the people, that they are living good life, but the Word of God especially tells us that there is good no one. And especially when we are thinking about ourselves, even Christians, many times we are doing what we do not supposed to do. Many times our life, many times neighbors, others, they see our life and they say, what kind of Christian they are. That's why we need in our life that God can use us to dedicate ourselves. Because in our life, even when we are saved, still two nature is living, you know, are living. First, we have still that old nature. And the new nature, when we accept Jesus Christ, usually we want to do His will. But somehow, the old nature is fighting against new nature. And there is a fight in our life. And many times, the testimony that we're supposed to give is not so as God wants us to give that testimony. But we are thankful to God that God is ready when His child considers that something wrong. I do not have testimony. I cannot be that vessel. I cannot reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will fix that thing. I will come and will get right with God. Oh yes. We find then victory in our life. And God then can use us. That we are sincere. And we come before Him and we confess our sin, and then we have that clear that our responsibility is to go and to reach others that are in problems of sin. But many times when I am thinking and studying about some churches, that they are just, as I call them, in Chicago we have many, just as social clubs. And many times I look in those preachers, those liberals, and especially seeing that people now, they realize this. And many people are leaving those liberal churches. They are looking to churches that would preach whole counsel of God. And you know, there is problem that sometimes even those liberals, they realize those problems. Especially one literature that I was reading in Russian language. And they were describing there that one time Satan, devil, he made a conference. And when he made a conference, he wanted to have a report of all demons, what they are doing. And one by one was standing up and giving report. One would say, well, you see, I'm spreading alcohol. That's why you have those problems. And here, problems in the home, wife is going one direction, husband other, children a third direction. This is what I'm doing. Another would stand up and would say, I am spreading the envy, hatred. And that's why you have those fight among the people. And so one by one, we're giving their report. And there was one just sitting in the corner. He did not give his report. And then the president, Satan, he asked him, why you do not give a report? He said, I do not give a report because I did nothing yet. Then he said, what, you were so lazy? Why you were not working? He said, no, I was working. But I was not involved with the people. But I was making a plan that we have to do something and would be very effective. And Satan asked, do you have that plan? He said, yes. He asked to present that plan. And he said, we have to change our tactic. When we are going to people who and seeing that they are reading Bible, we would say, read the Bible. When they are going to church, we would say, you go to church. But in the same time when they are reading Bible, we would say, you do not have believe all with what is in the Bible. And so they all applauded. And they said, yes, in this way we will win. That's what we see, what is going in the 20th century. And we are seeing that the people, especially those liberal preachers, they are denying the word of God. They are denying the deity of God. And we see that people are seeing this in their life. And that's why we, us fundamental people, that we have to be those vessels to reach those people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we see those compromises. And those compromises, great, that we see what they are doing. Especially one example about the Russian monk. You know, in Russia, as in religion, we have days before Easter that you do not suppose eat. You have to fast. And quite few days not eating, that monk, he got hungry. And he went to the kitchen. And there was nothing, just one egg. And he got that egg, and he got spoon there. He was afraid to cook it in the kitchen because he thought that somebody will come and see what he's doing. So he went to his room, and he put that egg in spoon, and over candle, he was cooking that egg. And when his friend came, opened the door, and he saw him, and he said, brother, what you are doing? And he said, brother, forgive me. Satan deceived me. And in the story, he said that Satan himself was in the corner and was looking what he was doing, and he said, he is lying. He said, I came here, and I am taking lesson what he is doing, because I never realized that it is possible to cook an egg over a candle. So I am getting lesson. Many things, when we are denying the deity of Jesus Christ, denying the word of God, that even Satan would not do this. Demons would not do, because we are reading that demons, they said to Jesus Christ, we know who you are. You are Son of God. When sanctification is so important in our life, we will ask question, how does sanctification operate? Sanctification operates through this Holy Spirit. Sanctification operates through the Word of God. We are reading that Jesus Christ said, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said that you are clean already through word that I spoke unto you. The gospel is the power. And we find when we are studying that there is two tenses, according to the grammar, of sanctification. The first one, it is past tense. And this is when sinners listen to the message, testimony, and realize that he is a sinner, condemned to hell. But in the same time, he realized that he does not have to go to hell. If he accepts Jesus Christ, then he will go to heaven. And he said, Lord, forgive my sins. I am accepting Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. So blood of Jesus Christ cleans God's sinner from all sins. And there is present time. Many times we realize why I am so unhappy, being saved even. Why I am so dry. Why I am so that I want to be active to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can. And then we realize there's something wrong in our life. And this would never make us if we will not come and if we would not come before Lord Jesus Christ and confess it. We are in trouble. And so we realize we would come to Lord Jesus Christ and we confess it. And we get right with God. And this is present time that when we confess our sins, He is faithful. He forgives our sins and cleanses us from all iniquity. But then we are studying more about sanctification. Not only in present time that our responsibility is to get right with God, but when as children of God, as those vessels that we won one day appear before judgment seat of Christ and to get our reward. And this is a future sanctification. When our body will be changed, that corruptible body into incorruptible. And then we appear there and we will get reward for our work. Dear brethren and sisters, it is worthy to work for the Lord. It is worthy to go and to reach souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is worthy to go and establish New Testament local churches. And when we are studying more about sanctification, we would ask how we can obtain right now. Apostle Paul, he described and he said in the 12th chapter to Romans, he said, present your body as living sacrifice. Jesus Christ, he gave good example and he said that altar sanctifies a gift. All altar is Jesus Christ. We have to come before Him. We have to separate ourselves and to dedicate ourselves to God. In the same time, separate ourselves that we may say that this world for me is crucified and I for all. Now Jesus Christ is living in me, in my heart. One example about a boy, his father was a preacher. And it happened that he was a liberal preacher. And they had a conference. And those preachers, they were concerned and they said, many people are leaving our churches. Somehow they are going to fundamental churches. And they were discussing those problems. They didn't realize that the problem was not with the people. But problem was in their hearts and they did not want to repent and recognize this. And that my small boy that was pastor's son, he said, why you have those problems? And then they said, you do not have problems? He said, well, I have some. He said, sometime devil comes to me and he tried to tempt me. But he said, from the time when I accepted Christ, my personal Savior, from that time, Christ is living my heart. And he is one that having all dominion. He is a Lord in my heart. And when devil comes to tempt me, he is knocking in the door of my heart and said, I do not open the door of my heart. But I am saying to Jesus, who is living my heart, Jesus, open the door and see who is knocking the door of my heart. And he said, when Jesus opens the door of my heart, devil, he sees Jesus, he said, forgive me, I came to the wrong door. It is victory when we dedicate our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, this is that we have power. We have that testimony. Testimony, it is very important. Somebody said that we have four Gospels, you know, in when we are reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. But it is very important with those four Gospels to show practical Gospel in our life. That the testimony that we are living, that people may see Jesus Christ in our life. One priest that was working in South America, when he got saved, and in the time of baptismal service, when he wanted to be baptized, they gave him questions. And they asked how he, what influence, who did that for him, you know, that he put such attention about testimony. And he showed his neighbors that they were Christian. He said that I look in their life, their practice. That's why I came to Baptist Church and I got saved. It is very important in our life when we are practicing what we are studying the Word of God. One rabbi, he wanted to know what his son will be in the future. And those people are very, very smart. Our children, they went to school, that 90% were Jewish people. We established good testimony among them. Some bought Bibles, to some we gave Bibles to those people. And especially one of the rabbis, not in Chicago special, but I read about him, just mentioning about those Jewish people. And he wanted to know what his son will be in the future. He was just a small boy. And he told to his wife, and wife said, you can't know. He said, yes, we can know. And then she said, how you can know? And then he took her to his office, and he put in his desk Bible, Torah, books of Moses. Then he took from his pocket $10, and he put on the desk. And then he brought a bottle of vodka, they call in Russian, whiskey. And she said, what this means? And he said, if our son will take Bible, it means that he will be good rabbi. He will be going by my steps. He will be preaching. He will be teaching people word of God. And she said, if he does not take a Bible, then if he takes money. All this, I like that he would take Bible, he said. But if he takes money, it is not too bad, because he will be good businessman. Then she said, but if he will take vodka, what this means? He said, oh, I do not want this, because this means that he will be drunker. He will be worthy for nothing. And they brought that boy. That boy looked at the desk, and he stretched his hand, wanted to take Bible, but then he changed his mind, and he was taking money. And his father almost wanted to push his hand to the Bible because he wanted that he would be a rabbi. But then he said, let him make his own choice. And then that boy, he put his money to his pocket. Then he looked upon the Bible, and then he stretched his hand, and he took Bible, and he took under his arm like this. Then he looks on desk, and see, he is looking at that bottle of vodka. Then he stretched his hand and he took that bottle of vodka, whiskey. And that father, the rabbi, took his head with his hands. And he said, that boy confused me. I thought that I will find who will be in the future. But now I cannot find. If he would take Bible, he will be rabbi. If he would take money, he will be good businessman. If he would take vodka or whiskey, he would be drunker. But now I cannot see what he will be. I can only think that he can be only Roman Catholic priest, because that one will take everything. And so we see, there is very importance, especially people, those that are outside, they are looking our life. We cannot be as those liberals. What we profess, we have to practice. This is that we have to be those vessels. That we will be those vessels that the Master can use us. And especially when I'm going to Old Testament and I find Prophet Isaiah. Seems many times that we find those men of God, even in Old Testament, the same condition that we would say that we have, the same problems. When he saw problem in his own life, then he could see the people with whom he was living. And he heard the voice, holy, holy, holy. And then he realized the condition of himself, of the people. And he confessed it. He said, woe unto me, I am undone. I am man with unclean lips. And I'm living among the people with same condition. When he confessed, when he got right with God, we are reading that God made a miracle. One of the seraphims we see when he came to him and he said, this, your iniquity depart from thee. Then his ear was open to listen the message of the need. And he heard, who will go for us? Whom we else will send? Oh, before he could not answer the question that. But then, that time when he confessed before the Lord, he got right with God. He said, here I am, send me. Dear brothers and sisters, if we are in problem, if we are not right with God, we cannot be those vessels. And let us straight the thing before God. We want to be missionaries. We want to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not play with God. We cannot play. Let us be sincere and coming as Prophet Isaiah said. And he confessed. And God took care many times. We are trying to get care. And we can't. Let us come to the Lord. And let us try this. And He is ready to help us. And then we will be able to be those missionaries, those vessels. That we will be used for the Master's use. And we will have that great reward when we will appear before judgment seat of Christ. Let God speak to our hearts. There are souls dying, going to hell without Christ. Let us have compassion as Jesus Christ had. Let us rush with the gospel and reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. May God speak to our hearts. I will ask every head bowed and every eye closed. If there are some that will say, yes, I want to be that vessel. I want that God may use me. I would tell you, if you are not yet saved, you cannot be that vessel. You first have to be saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. And I want to pray for you. If there are some that are not yet saved, just raise your hand. With this, I would know that you would say, missionary, pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to accept Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. Just raise your hand. I would like to pray for you. Are some? Yes, God bless you. Are some others? Huh? Are some others? Raise your hand. I would like to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Maybe there are some that you are saved. You accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But you were not baptized. And maybe you would say, pray for me. I want to be obedient to the Great Commission and to be baptized. Just raise your hand. I would like to pray for you. There are some. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There are some others. Raise your hand. Maybe there are some that young people especially. And we would say, pray for me. I want to be missionary. I want to go to Bible school. And I want to be missionary where God will send me. I want to dedicate my life for full service to the Lord. I don't know where Lord wants me, but I want that you missionary pray for me. I'm concerned about this. Pray for me. I would like to pray for you. There are some. Raise your hand. Yes, yes. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe there are some that would say, yes, I can be missionary. But you missionary were speaking that my responsibility is a child of God to reach those that are not yet saved. And I'm concerned. I want to be that vessel that God may use me. But I have some problems in my life. And I want to get right with God. I want to take care that God may take care. I want to fix this in my life that God may use me as that vessel, that I may work for Him. I may get people to the Lord Jesus Christ that they may accept, and I will have that reward that He has for me. And you would say, pray for me. I want to get right with God. I would like to pray for you. There are some, just raise your hand. I would like to pray for you. There are some? Yes, yes. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe some of you would say, yes, I have friends that are not yet saved. I have relatives that are not saved. I have neighbors that are not saved. And somehow, I did not give testimony to them. But now I would like to go to them and to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, to reach them for the Lord. Missionary, pray for me. I would like to pray for you. Just raise your hand. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for this privilege to be in this great local church, for the pastor. I thank Thee for Thy people, for their missionary vision. Bless those that they raised their hands, those that they want to be saved. Help them that they may get that joy of salvation. Dear Lord, we are thankful for those that they want to be baptized. Bless them and help them in that great commission that they may be obedient as they express desire to be baptized. Bless those that they said that they want to be missionary for full-time service, to dedicate their life. Dear Lord, bless Thy children here that they said, yes, I want to get right with the Lord, that I want to be as well missionary to reach my neighbors, my relatives, my friend for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them, help them to reach them. And now we commit ourselves to Thy hands and asking Thy blessing, Thy name may be glorified in our life. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Pastor.